God is awesome. Father in heaven, we just come thanking and praising you for this time of worship, this time to spend in your presence. And Father God, now as the word comes forward, you speak through your messenger. Father, may the words of my heart and the meditations of my heart, words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable, Lord, in your sight. I thank you, Lord, and I ask this in your darling son, Jesus' name. Amen. I was talking to Pastor about this message today, and I was telling him, what was so negative? God, you really want me to say that? He said, yes, but in the end, you'll see the hope. So, if you turn in your Bibles to Romans, the 5th chapter, let me put my eyes on, and beginning at verse 1. It says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. Amen. God gave me a topic today, and it simply is two choices: works of the flesh or the grace of God. You have a choice between one or the other. I'd rather have the grace of God. One of the main things that keeps us from enjoying our lives down here are works of the flesh. I know that we are in a pandemic, that there is political unrest and social upheaval in our lives. Wars and rumors of wars that are happening in our world today. But don't be dismayed. God is not asleep. He knows what is going on. What we are dealing with are works of the flesh. Works of the flesh are attempts to accomplish through your own energy things that are God's job. Now let me repeat that. What I just said was, works of the flesh are attempts to accomplish through our own energy things that are God's job. In Psalm 139, 1 through 6, it says, O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Now listen to this last one. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. In other words, it's God's business. Amen. So I'm gonna, what does works of the flesh look like? And we can all attest to this. Number one is frustration. We can see it in the different protests of trying to get equality or justice in our nation. Riots that are fueled by the injustices of police, which led to the George Floyd's murder trial. We saw that even before they could announce the verdict, someone has got shot in another town, killed in another. Frustrations produces protests, marching, rioting, all are a part of the frustration people are dealing with right now. Do you agree with that? Complication. That's a work of the flesh. The complexities of hospitals having to deal with COVID and the misinformation resulting in the rise in number of people contracting the Delta virus, which has gotten worse because of the lack of vaccinations. Social distancing and the wearing of masks to help curb the virus are made political batterings, and our children are dying daily. Think about that. The lack of peace. Because of our having to be quarantined, there's been a rise in suicides in the younger generation. Depression has become our main companion. Joylessness. No joy in our homes, no joy in our going out, about in our community. We would rather fight our neighbor than try to help him or her. We want everyone to feel as bad as we do. Restlessness, sleeplessness, no peace, and so on and so on. In other words, anything that God is not a part of is works of the flesh. And that's the result of works of the flesh. It sounds bleak, doesn't it? Would it surprise you know that everything I just mentioned is because of the flesh? Thank God for his grace. We are his children, the sheep of his pastures. We should not be affected because of what is happening around us. But we know that God's word has promised us his protection, salvation, provision, and his grace. James 4 and 6 says, but he gives us more grace. That is why the scripture says, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Is God talking to his people during this time in our world? You find that scripture in also in Proverbs, the third chapter and the 34th verse. One of my favorite scriptures is 2 Chronicles, the 7th chapter, and I always start at verse 13 because it's really telling us who's in charge. It said, when I shut up the heavens, and this is God talking to Solomon, when I shut up the heavens so that there's no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among my people, if my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. So how do we end up in this mess? Is this unexpected? If you've been caught by surprise, evidently you have not been reading your word. The Bible tells us that God is not unaware of what's happening. He tells us in Psalms 121, 3 and 4, he said, he will not let your foot slip. He who watches over Israel will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. That is why we can say with confidence, I will look to the hills from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Now, don't you know if he created the heaven and the earth, he's going to see that his work is complete. He's going to see that his work is good because he said it when he did it. If you go back to Genesis, the first chapter, you see that every time God spoke, he said it was good. When he created man, and we were the only ones that he literally got down in the dirt to form and then kissed us with the breath of life. And we became a living soul. And he said, it's good. So if God knows the earth that he prepared for us is good, but because of sin that came into the world, it began to destroy. Began to destroy God's work. And we have the hope for this world. right now. We have the hope. The world doesn't know it because they don't see it in us. I'm going to say this. This is me. I'm sick and tired of seeing God's people walk around here looking hopeless. Now, you hear what I say? We walk around here like we don't know. We're confused. We don't know what's going on. We know everything that's going on because we know that God knows what's going on and he's keeping us. Read Psalm 91 if you want some courage, encouragement that God is keeping you. God is looking out for you. In Romans, the 6th chapter, I'm sorry, the 8th chapter, he said, and we know that, verse 28 says, and we know that all things work for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Now, if you've been called according to his purpose, you know everything is working for your good. Even though it might look bad, it's working for your good. They sang it just a little while ago. He's going to turn that stuff around for your good. Satan might throw out everything that he can at you, but he is powerless because Christ won the victory on the cross over 2,000 years ago. We give him power. We give him power. We give him our joy. We give him our peace. We give him our sleep because we worry. We don't have to do that. God did not build us like that. He gave us something that we should be able to rest. He said in Philippians, the 4th chapter, I think it's the 6th verse. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, even your own, that is, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So we have peace. We have the way to, we have hope in Christ Jesus. We can recognize that everything that is happening in our world is the result of flesh. And we know that flesh is sinful. It wants to be what it wants to be. It could care less who it affects. We as God's people should be setting the example. When God told us, when Jesus told us in John 13, 34 and 35, a new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. So what does loving one another looks like? It looks like I'm not going to judge you simply because you wear a mask or you don't wear a mask. Or you've been vaccinated or you haven't been vaccinated. You know why? Because God is the only one that can change man's heart. Yeah, I got it in the scripture. It says that God is the one that changes man's heart. He told us if we abide in him, because he's the vine. We're the branches. Branches can't do anything without the vine. If you think I'm kidding, you go out and look at the trees where the branches are dead because they're no longer in the vine. They're no longer attached to the tree. We don't want to be a dead branch. We need to remain in the vine. He said, if I'm the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can't do anything. You can't show the love of God if you're apart from the vine. If you can't show the love of God to your neighbor, to people that need to know that there is hope out there for their situation. And if you can show that, then you are bearing much fruit. Wait on God. I know that's hard to do, but enjoy the wait. We sing a song that simply says, while you wait, you might have to stand in the rain. While you wait, there might be some heartache and pain. While you're waiting on the promises to be fulfilled in your life, remember, God's never late. So praise Him while you wait. Enjoy the wait. Praise God while you're waiting for your promises to manifest in your life. Amen? Waiting on God honors Him. We know that there were Eli's sons that were priests that did not honor God. God does not like that. He wants us to honor Him. He said, I promised the members, he told Eli this, I promised the that the members of your family would minister before me forever. But now the Lord declares, far be it from me. Those who honor me, I will honor. But those who despise me will be disdained. The Lord was tired and disgusted with Eli's sons. They were evil. And instead of Eli, a priest of God, letting them know that they needed correcting, or they needed to change their ways, he told them kind of haphazardly, but he really allowed them to run amok with God's in God's temple and with God's people. So be humble. Be humble before the Lord. And leave it in God's hands. Now, I know you hear people say that all the time. Just put it in the hands of the Lord and leave it there. You say, but they don't know what I'm going through. It doesn't matter. God knows what you're going through. So if you put it in His hands, that's the best place for it to be. What other place would you rather put yourself, trust your family, trust your situation than in the hands of an almighty God that can take care of the situation? He can heal. Woo, I'm a living witness to that. You know, y'all seen me up and down these stairs, trying to hold on to somebody, trying to get up and down the stairs, and God healed me. I know Him to be my Jehovah Rapha. He's a healer. It took some years for it to manifest, but while I wait, I kept proclaiming, I'm walking in my healing. And as we walk in the healing that God has provided for, He don't want anybody to be sick. If you're sick, there's a reason for it. Had a young lady that lost her sight, lost her vision, that goes to a Bible study with us. She said, I was asking God, why do you just let me die? Let me come on up there with you. I wouldn't have to worry about this. Because she fell and hit her head, and she went blind. She said, another fraction of an inch, she would have died from the head injury, because she would have hit her head a certain way. It would have killed her. And I said, baby, God has a purpose for you. Even in your blindness, He can use what Satan meant for evil. He can turn it for your good. Satan wanted to kill you, but God said no. So there's a purpose for your life. God wants to use you for His glory. She said, I know that. I know that. But sometimes we get discouraged. We just want to complain. There's no use complaining. It's not going to do any good. So leave it in God's hands. He said, cast your cares on the Lord. Leave your hands off the situation. Trust God and go ahead and enjoy life. Just remember, no matter what happens down here, we are just sojourners. This is not our home. We're just passing through. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your path straight. That's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. You cannot change anyone, not your spouse, not your children, not this political situation, not the pandemic, not even yourself. You can't do it. Trust that God has your back, your front, your sides, your top, and your bottom, that he covers you and will take care of you. Amen. Two ways to live, and that's God's way or your own way. You have a choice. There was two covenants mentioned in Galatians, the 4th chapter, 22nd to 24th verse, and one of those was the covenant of Hagar. That was doing it our own way. You remember Hagar was a slave of Sarah, and they trying to help God along with this prophecy that Abraham would be the father of many nations, but he didn't have a child, and they were old. So they tried to help God out. How do you do that? Oh, you don't have to raise your hand. I'll raise mine. I'm always trying to help God out, and he said, Carol, this is my business. I'm like, oh, yeah, you're right, Lord. I'm sorry. They were trying to, and so what they ended up with was an Ishmael. And so right now today, over in that country, they are still fighting over the birthright. Ishmael said, I'm the oldest, even though I wasn't the promised one. I'm the oldest, and I deserve the birthright. But God had promised it to Israel through Abraham, right? So we don't want to go our way and end up with an Ishmael. Don't work to change others. Let God do it. Learn to trust God. Only God can change people's hearts and minds. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove you from your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. That's what he told the children of Israel. One way that we can do this, learning to trust God, is to look at Hebrews, the 4th chapter, and the 3rd verse. Now we who have believed enter that rest, just as God said. When we enter the rest of God, it's peaceful. You don't even have to sleep. You can just rest in it. We don't know how to rest in the Lord. Ooh, that's, Lord, forgive me. I did not know how to rest in the Lord. God had to lay me down beside the still waters where he restored my soul. Don't let God have to lay you down to learn to rest in him. You can rest in him through his word. You can rest in him by talking with him. He wants a relationship with each and every one of us in here. Those that are on the line, he wants a relationship with you. Once you have a relationship with the Father, guess what? It's restful. Because in him you find peace. You find joy. You find contentment. You find that any and every situation that comes up, God can handle it. Rest is freedom from excessive reasoning. Woo! Struggle. Fear. Inner turmoil, worry, and frustration, which develops because of our working to do only what God can do. I need to read that one again. Rest is freedom. Freedom. You're free from excessive reasoning, struggle, fear, inner turmoil, worry, and frustration, which develops because of our working to do what only God can do. We were trying to get in his business again. If you want to get in God's business, get in the kingdom business. That's what he wants us to do. He said in Matthew 11:30, 28 through 30. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I love to take on the burdens of Jesus. His burden of peace. His burden of joy. Oh, let me take those on. His burden of kindness. His burden of gentleness. His burden of faith. His burden of love. I'll take those. He can have my junk. My junk is frustration, worry, and all that other stuff that I don't want in my life. God wants us to live that way, which can only be done if we adhere to Hebrews 11:16 and diligently seek after him. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Even if we get into trouble through a lack of wisdom or some fleshly disobedience, we know that if we just tell him we are messed up, he is faithful and just to forgive us and restore us back to himself by cleansing us from all unrighteousness. Amen? That's 1 John 1:9. Commit that to memory. He's faithful and just to forgive. All we have to do is come to him and say, Lord, I messed up. I'm sorry. And he has made a way because he sent his son to die for us, forgive us of our sins, and that's past, present, and future, in case you don't know. Once you're saved, you're always saved. That's true. That's a true statement. Because nobody can take you out of God's hand. Because to do so would say, are you stronger than God? We know that's not the case. And he's called you to himself. No man can separate you from the love of God. Let me read this to you. Yesterday I had the opportunity to sing at my cousin's funeral, or her homegoing. It wasn't a funeral. I don't do funerals. But at her homegoing. And this is something that she wrote for us. And I want to share this with you. It says, the company you keep, it is better to be alone than in the wrong company. Tell me who your best friends are, and I will tell you who you are. If you run with wolves, you will learn how to howl. But if you associate with eagles, you will learn how to soar to great heights. The true fact of life is that you become like those with whom you closely associate the good and the bad. As you grow, your associates will change. Some of your friends will not want to go on. They want you to stay where they are. Don't follow anyone who's not going anywhere. This is what she left for her family. She said, happy moments, praise God. Difficult moments, seek God. Quiet moments, worship God. Painful moments, trust God. Thank God. If you see people without a smile today, give them one of yours. Choose to rise, don't settle, and go for your dreams. Most of all, let God lead you in everything you do. And this was for my cousin, Dee Dolores Tillman. And she left that for her children. What are we leaving for our children? Confusion. The Bible said, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he grows old, he won't depart from it. What do they see when they look at us? Are we showing them that God has poured his love into us? And then he, as he's poured his love into, do they see you? Well, Lord help us. They see you driving down the street fussing at people and calling them out of their names and stuff because you're frustrated with the traffic. Do they see you get angry with mama or daddy and not fuss lovingly? Not argue lovingly? Not letting the word of God handle your problem? Do they see you grab your bills and just get frustrated and throw them everywhere and say, I just can't do this any longer? What do we show our children? What do we show our neighbors? What do we show each other when we're trying to give them the hope that God has given us? The love that God has given us. He gave it to us. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man, woman, boy, or girl comes to the Father except through him. Jesus is the way. He is the truth. Are we displaying God's truth in our life to others? Or do we let flesh take over? There may be someone who has been struggling with the situations in the world. Just know we live in the world, but we're not of the world. God said that we are a peculiar people. He also tells us that pilgrims traveling through this barren land. We have a place that Jesus has prepared for us in heaven. Therefore, we shouldn't be entangled in the problems of this world. Don't get entangled in that. Our concern should be with the Father's kingdom, with God's kingdom, and presenting his kingdom to a dying world. We know that God called men to repentance, and by being prepared to go and make disciples of men, women, boys, and girls, everywhere, we will be doing the will of the Father. That's what Jesus did. He only did what his Father said to do. He went where his Father said go. He said what his Father said say. Romans 10, 9 and 10 simply says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Saved? Yes. Saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confessions is made unto salvation. And once we're saved for something. We are saved for something. We're saved for God's purpose in our life. And his purpose is that we go and tell others about Christ Jesus, who came and died for us. We go give the gospel, the good news, to others that they may join in where we're at. How many of you want to see your enemy go to hell? Oh, didn't anybody raise a hand? Okay. Where do you want them to go? I'm talking about your enemy. I ain't talking about your friend. I know if I say, how many of you want your friend to go to heaven? Everybody raise a hand. How many of you want to see your friend go to hell? Don't nobody want to see them go to hell. Why? Because we know that God has something better for us. And God has a place for us. And let me tell you something. When you live your life like you love the Lord, you make it better for those around you. She said, if someone is not smiling, give them one of yours. I used to tell everybody, when they get a little crazy and angry, turn around and give them a Jesus smile. You know, when you do that, it changes the atmosphere. It changes the situation. And that's what we need to be doing as Christians. We need to change the atmosphere, and we need to change the situation in this mess today. Amen? God can do it if we let him. Father God, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for your promises, and we stand on them, Lord. We thank you that you are who you are. We thank you, Father God, that you are a healer. We thank you that you are a deliverer. We thank you that you are a provider. We thank you that you are our banner. We thank you that we have won the victory through Jesus Christ. And Father God, we thank you for your Son, who died on the cross for our sins, who paid the price that I couldn't pay, who shed his blood, innocent blood, for a guilty wretch like me, myself. And Father God, I thank you that he not only shed his blood and died on the cross, but he got up. Because he got up, Lord, we have resurrection power in our hands. The power of God lives in us. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives within us. And so, Father God, help us to resurrect ourselves out of our weakness and be strong in the Lord. We want your strength, Father God, not ours. We want your strength to be able to go tell others about somebody that's able to save anybody. And his name is Jesus. We thank you now. We pray that you would, these words have fallen on hearts that have been made flesh, ears that are hearing, hearts that are changed. We thank you, Lord, and we ask this in your darling Son, Jesus' name. Amen.
As Virgil plays that, I want you to continue to prepare your heart to receive God's grace. You can't give what you do not have. So God never calls us to give to someone else what we don't have. You can't talk about giving peace if you don't have peace. Amen. So it requires first and foremost that you receive what is available to you. The message was works of flesh are works of grace. Receiving what comes by grace. God says in his word that his grace is sufficient for you and me. It is his unmerited favor given to you and me. That means it's not something that you earn. You can't work for it. You can't buy it. You can't go to the store, get it off the shelf. You can't pull it up on Amazon, get some delivered to your house. No, grace only comes from God, and you can't manipulate him into giving it to you. It is something that he offers freely to you and to me. But get this, it only comes through the person of Jesus Christ. If you want grace, you've got to accept Jesus. If you reject Jesus, you're also saying, I reject grace. So it begins by accepting Jesus and walking in his grace, the grace that he gives. What I love about God is he says that saving you from hell is just the first start. Forgiving you of your sins, that's just the first start. But when he talks about his grace, he says, you can't beat him giving. He has grace that is sufficient to meet every area of your life. But in order for you to walk in grace, you got to continue then to receive what he has given by faith. That's one reason I love at the end of Romans 10, 9 and 10. It says that if you confess the Lord, that you will be saved. Amen. That's the continual thing that's going on. Yes, you're securing your salvation in that once you trust Jesus, your eternal destination is firm. You've made reservations in heaven. But he says, until I bring you there, you've got to live life here. And I have grace enough to save you through every situation. And in every situation, you just keep on calling on the name of Jesus. Whenever the works of flesh show up, your response is always Jesus. Amen. Frustration comes in. What's your response? Jesus. Sickness comes in. What's your response? Jesus. I can't sleep at night. What's your response? Jesus. I'm lonely. And what's your response? Jesus. Because why? He's the ever-present God. He's the one who said he's all around you and that he'll never leave you nor forsake you. And so you and I have to practice exercising and receiving grace on a regular basis, because you're right, the enemy keeps coming and he keeps knocking at your door, trying to disturb your peace, trying to wake up in you the flesh that just won't die. And every time he wakes it up, your response ought to be, but Jesus. He already died for this. He's already given me a new life. And any man who is in Christ Jesus can then be at peace. Amen.
Amen.
So I want you, as we are getting ready to receive and celebrate the finished work of Jesus Christ, to just begin to lay down the burdens of your heart and receive the grace that God offers through Jesus Christ. Just begin to prepare it. Remember, he says that he loves you so much, and therefore we can cast every care that we have upon him because of his great love for us. Trouble shouldn't make you run from God. Trouble should make you run to God. Amen?
Amen.
That's right. Why? Because when you run to him, you're getting relief. You're getting protection. And so just because trouble comes your way doesn't mean that God has a problem with you. Means the enemy might be messing with you. And so when trouble comes your way, you run to God and embrace him. And if he's got a problem with you, trust me, he'll tell you. You don't have to guess. He'll speak. He'll let you know. And because God doesn't yell, he normally whispers to those he loves. The closer you are, the better you can hear. Amen. And so as we prepare to receive, take before God your troubles, your concerns, and exchange the frustration, exchange the disappointment, exchange the stuff that keeps you tied up in knots, exchange it for his grace and his peace. Let it wash over you as you declare that your hope is in him and him alone.